Hello friends, it is good to be back and discuss with you the opening of the sixth seal. We are having here a change of scenery and you realize it. We move to a particular time. But let's read the text together at the end of chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, from verse 12. Revelation 6:12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountain and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Here is a particular impressive text which has sometimes been interpreted as the return of Jesus. But I think we need to look at it more closely. In fact, once again, it is by looking at parallel texts that we shall understand and find explanations about what is happening. So, the point I'm going to pay close attention to is the notion of red moon like blood. This passage brings us an information that is extremely valuable, because the texts that speak of darkening of the sun and darkening of the moon are many. While the texts that speak of darkening of the sun and of the moon red like blood are rare.
Cela sont rares.
Let's read some of these texts. First, we go to Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy the sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellation will not give their light. The sun will darken in its going forth. The moon will not cause its light to shine. You see here the darkening of the sun and the moon. Let's take a second text in the book of Prophet Joel, chapter 2, verse 10.
Joel, chapitre 2, verset 10.
The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. There are many other texts where we see the sun and the moon going together.
Dans le Nouveau Testament,
we have the same thing in the text of Joel chapter 3 verse 13.
Dans le texte de Joël, Joel 3, 13. Et au verset 15, on trouve la même chose. Joël 3, 15.
The sun and the moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. Let us turn now to some texts in the New Testament. In his great prophetic fresco, Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 29, tells us the following.
Au verset 29, Matthieu 24, 29.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heavens will be shaken. In the parallel text, in Mark chapter 13, verse 24, we find the same thing. And even in the book of Revelation chapter 8, which we have not studied yet, but shall see soon, we find the following statement.
Déclaration suivante, Apocalypse 8, 12.
Revelation chapter 8, verse 12. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that the third of them were darkened, a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Having seen all these texts about the darkening of the sun and moon, I'd like to tell you about those two texts that are exceptions. First, the text that we have just read in Revelation chapter 6, the one we are studying. And second, the text found in the book of the prophet Joel, chapter 2, from verse 28,
au chapitre 2, et à partir du verset 28.
In some versions, this chapter at the end of chapter 2 is isolated and is part of chapter 3.
Et dans ce cas,
in this case, the book of Joel contains four chapters. But let's return to the numbering we have here. Let's read the text of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28.
Au chapitre 2 et au verset 28.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. This is a very interesting text, helping us to understand the revelation regarding both the end of chapter 6 and chapter 7 and the beginning of chapter 8. First, it gives us time indication. This will happen before the day of the Lord, and this is quite normal. Basically, what does this text describe? It could be divided into three parts. The first part, verses 28 and 29, describe this extraordinary phenomenon of the reign of the Spirit. The Spirit of God will come mightily upon God's people, all God's people, the old men, the young, those who are active, all social classes, bosses, servants, maids, all. This is an extremely curious phenomenon, and you do agree with me that it has not occurred yet. However, We already have had a slight idea of it. And this first part of this partial fulfillment of the prophecy, Peter observed it at the Pentecost.
C'est Pierre qui l'a observé.
He realized he could quote the text of Joel on that occasion.
À cette occasion-là. Et cette occasion, c'était la Pentecôte.
I invite you to read this account with me in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 8.
Actes au chapitre 2.
And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, and saying to one another, "Look, are they not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born?" At that time, rumors begin to spread. It is 9 in the morning. It is not in the habit of the disciples to abuse of alcoholic beverages, but gossips begin to spread. People start chattering and saying, "They are drunk, they are full of new wine." Then Peter will have to answer this objection and explain exactly what it is all about. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Peter understood very well that he was witnessing the phenomenon described by Joel. With this exception that, at that moment, the rain of the Spirit was poured out on a few people, a few dozen. Maybe 70, 100 or 120. But on a limited number of people, which however at that time represent a large number of the disciples. Yet, the text of Joel tells us that the Spirit is actually going to come upon all God's people. He tells us that it is going to happen a little before the day of the Lord. In other words, this phenomenon that occurred in Peter's time, that is in the early church, will take place again in a much broader way, in a more or less close future, but in a future, I hope soon.
Dans un avenir dont je ne peux pas vous dire à quelle distance il se trouve, mais dans un avenir
You may ask, how shall we know? This is the very subject of the second part of the book of Joel. The chapter 2 of Joel announces not only this reign of the Spirit, but also cosmic signs. Signs that will shake the earth. Pillars of fire, of smoke, and a huge earthquake. So huge as it has not been seen in living memory. An earthquake where every mountain and island are moved out of their places. It is well known that during the tsunami in Southeast Asia, islands did move a little. So it was during the Fukushima accident. It moved a few centimeters and even a meter or two, as it is sometimes said. But this time, it is not only an island or a couple of islands, but the whole tectonic plate that will be shaken, modifying even the distance between islands and coastal countries, even the inland mountains. So, we can imagine that such an earthquake, accompanied by extremely amazing signs, like the sky that recedes as a scroll when it is rolled up, I guess it refers to a huge meteor shower. Such a phenomenon is obviously likely to cause terror. This is what is being described in the text. Everyone is terrorized. Great men, ordinary people, military chiefs, free men, slaves, all hiding in rocks of mountains and caves, as if fallout shelters they have built are not sufficient enough, and maybe it alludes to the shelter they have sought to build. When the whole earth moves, this is reason enough for the most established, the firmest human mind to be shaken. And those men tremble. They tremble to such an extent that they say, who is able to stand? Obviously, beneath this question, all the anguish of these men is being made manifest, and they do not expect answers, because for them, the answer is obvious. No one can stand. And Joel gives us an answer in the last part of his book. Let's read it again. The book of the prophet Joel, verse 32, last part of chapter 2. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. We are given several indications in this verse. A remnant will stand. And not only will they stand, but they are on Mount Zion. Again, Mount Zion is a metaphor. Mount Zion is usually located in Jerusalem, but several other locations have also been alleged. Anyhow, this is not the main point. If we refer to the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 1, we see who is on Mount Zion. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, then I looked and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. Here is the remnant. Here are the overcomers, the survivors. They are presented in the text of Revelation 14 as the first fruits. You know, when the harvest is not yet there, but some grains, a few ears, have matured, they are already ripe and ready to be harvested. Likewise, this group is a little ahead of the others. This group of the 144,000, which definition we shall be seeing soon, this group is part of the remnant. And if we understand that they are those who are on Mount Zion, it means that they are the people who have received the reign of the Holy Spirit. You see, what appears to some as an imminent end, who can stand, is actually a beginning of God's people. This start up, these 144,000, this people who receives the latter rain are those who will stand. Why do they receive the latter rain, the rain of the Holy Spirit? Because they have the same mission as those during Pentecost in Peter's time. That is, to announce to all people the good news of the gospel. So, let me invite you during our next meeting to look at these 144,000 and get prepared to be part of them.